Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and today it is a very exciting day because we're going to be talking to someone that happens to be right now in Egypt. Well, we do actually talk to a lot of people right here on Tippy Talk from all over the world. We have talked to people in Switzerland, in England, and in Canada, but I'm very excited about this amazing conversation that we're going to have with someone who lives in Egypt. But as it turns out, the link to our studio is blocked somehow on their computer, and it could be the government censorship, or it could be the computer itself. I'm not sure, but we can't get a hold. We can't do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you what he sent me. So I want you to relax because it's time to step into the Tippy Zone where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power and connect to the fact that we are all one from all over the world. I'd like to welcome you to Tippy Talk. And again, my name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I'm dedicated to explore life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And we connect to people from all over the world who tell us their stories, their great triumphs and victories, or their sorrows and pain, because the whole idea is to connect to the fact and to understand that we are all just one human family in this world. And the sooner we realize that and the sooner we connect, then the better it will be for us. And so right now we're trying to connect to our friend in Egypt who is standing by. His name is Ahmed, and he was born in Egypt, and then he went to Jordan, and then he went back to Egypt. And so the story that he has is really fascinating, and I really wanted him to give it to you today, but we can't connect today, so we will be connecting on another day when we figure out technical difficulties that we're having and the technical issues about calling. And so he sent me a letter, and that's how I got it. He sent me a letter saying why I hate Arabs. And to my surprise, I thought that Egyptians were Arabs. That's what I always thought. But he said no. He said that Egyptians are not Arabs. They're actually something else. I think that they call themselves Semites. And that is what makes them. But I thought Semites were Jews. So I really wanted him to explain that to me. But since he's not able to come on today, I guess we're just going to have to wing it and wing it. But either way, the fact of the matter is that he said that because they're not exactly like Arabs, they are being discriminated against by the Arabs and the Palestinians that happen to live in the countries around them, like Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and all those other places. So his story is very touching because I didn't think people inside of Egypt could be out of the group thinking of the same kind of programming, the same kind of thinking that we're told here in the West and everywhere we go. But I'm going to read you a little bit of what he wrote. And he wrote about his family pain and what it's like to live over there. Okay, so let me start with saying, my story begins with my father, he says. He was and still is my idol. My dad was a colonel in the Egyptian army, and he had the kind of sacrificing personality, I guess. He sacrificed his life for his family, and that was his weakness. I'm trying to kind of translate from his English so that I understand it. So the problem that he had that he couldn't overcome was poverty. Even though he tried really hard, he couldn't. He was an officer, not like other corrupt ones. He said, my dad was the eldest son of his family. Well, not exactly the eldest, because he had an older sister, but in Egypt, the oldest boy, he's really considered the eldest of the family. But his grandfather abandoned his family, so he became the man of the house. And then he joined the military academy, and his family was very proud of him. Even though he had the entire responsibility of his family and all his younger sisters and brothers were on his shoulders, he had to take care of everyone. And then Ahmed says that it's actually the same thing with him, but he wasn't an officer, but he's the oldest of five brothers and sisters. And he was raised with both his parents, who were both in the army. And he had a really good life because his father really cared about him. And even though financially they always had problems, he had a big heart. And he used to study with him, used to teach him boxing, and he said that he would take his shirt off his back to give him to him because he thinks he was a really great man. God bless his soul. He was also an officer. She was a nurse, and she was kind and clean hearted, but she was from province, and his father was a city man. And that made their lives a little bit difficult because there were a lot of differences between them. And then my dad left the army service when he was 5 years old. My dad left the army when I was 5 years old, and my mom had no experience in anything except the army, so succeed in any other business where he tried after the army. But his mother was a nurse, and she used to, I guess, provide for the family. the pension that they got from the army was not enough. And one day, his mother decided to travel to KFA, which I'm not sure where that is, in 1987 to improve their financial status. And because his father still couldn't find a job in the small city where they live, which is called Heya. And even with all these problems, his father never stopped trying to support the family. He got a job and then he lost his job. And then his mother lost her job. But his father left the army at age 39, which he thinks is a big mistake. Still young, full of power and energy and a lot of free time. So the first thing, as a young man, he had an affair, I guess, with the woman next door. And that caused the family to have a huge disaster because the husband of the woman that he had an affair with wanted to kill him. But nobody ever wanted to hurt the kids. That's a big thing also in Egypt. And so they traveled out of the city to a place called Zagazig. And the husband of the person that he had an affair with wanted to kick them out, and I guess he succeeded. And so my grandmother told the husband that we will go live away and that way the problem will stop. So basically, he had an affair and then they had to leave Egypt for some reason. He couldn't go back to Cairo and they decided to leave their house and live in a rented flat. And then they were kicked out of the house and we had to leave our home. And he had an uncle that lived in Jordan. And so they were invited to go to Jordan. So they had to leave the place where they were familiar with in Egypt and go to Jordan. And they were told that it was a really good place. And so the whole family picked up and went to Jordan just to stay away from the angry husband. Now in Jordan is where his problems actually begin. Because they lived next door to a Palestinian family whom he said, I hate too much after I saw how much they hate Egyptians. And he used to get beat up every day. He used to get called names because he was an Egyptian, as if being an Egyptian was a shame. It was a very tough 2 years that they were there. His father worked in a bakery. His mother worked as a nurse sometimes. She worked as a house helper, I guess a maid, sometimes, but they had a really hard time financially. So they left the community. They humiliated them. This experience left me to hate Palestinians more than I hated the husband of the woman that my father had an affair with. Then after 2 years, they came back to Egypt to school. But he always felt the weakness of his parents. He always felt the lack of money, not having relatives. He went on to high school, but he wanted to join some kind of engineering, and he couldn't. So he applied to join the military, but they refused him too, even though both his parents were militaries. So now he had a problem. And then he joined the Faculty of Commerce, which must be a university, a 4 years course, and he hated it. And he spent 7 years there, and then he graduated from Commerce, and then he applied to the Army in Egypt. Thank God they didn't need me at that time. So I didn't serve. Then I got released. Then I tried to look for a job in Cairo or Sharm el-Sheikh, but never found a job. The only thing he found was things that were too low. So he wanted to go to Australia because he has a couple of relatives in Australia, but they refused to help him. So he was kind of stuck in Egypt. But basically, I guess he's giving me a background of where he was and what happened to him. So he went to KSA, which I can't figure out what it is. And he went as an accountant, but he didn't like it. He didn't like what was going on there. So he decided to move to Dubai, which was much better, but a little bit more civilized. I enjoyed life there, and I had many relationships. Easy to have a girlfriend, but I didn't save any money from it. And still, the Arabs were not very nice. He called them rubbish Arabs. Then he was intending to go to a Western country, and then he talks about, he goes, I was a little handsome and strong physically, so I succeeded to have many relations with Western women, but it seems that they only wanted me in bed for a while and then go. And then I found a Pakistani British woman, and that woman was married to an Emirati man in London and got divorced from him there, but she remarried him again in Dubai. And when I met her, she was desperate for love as the husband was always away, spending time in Dubai and Russia with Russian whores. And she told me that she's a divorced woman looking for a husband. And frankly, that was exactly what I was looking for, a British woman to take me to the West. But by the time I really loved her, I asked her to marry me. So she showed me the divorce papers from London, and she didn't show me the papers that she actually remarried him in Dubai. I took her to Egypt embassy where we married one day. And one day I'm coming out of her home, a man or the husband met me asking what I'm doing there. And a fight happened, and I beat him. But as Emirati, they put him in jail for 90 days. The woman ran away as she knew that she gathered two husbands. I went out of jail and stayed on one more year in Dubai, then left to miserable Egypt again. I arrived in April 2014, and since then I have no job, no money, no wife, or anything in life. I came back here to go on. I think this is a little bit too personal information, so I'm not going to go on from here. But basically, he's been in Egypt for 2 years, and since 2014. Okay, that's more than 2 years, and still doesn't have a job, and still doesn't like Egypt too much, and is having a really hard time. But the question is, let me see if I have the other story that he's hearing. The story really is about what happened when he went to Jordan and how the Palestinians treated him because I guess they perceived him as not being an Arab. And that's the story that he says, why I hate Arabs, which I will tell you in a minute. I will read you his story in a minute of what happened and why he says he hates Arabs. But I just want to clarify that I am not supporting hate. I don't condone hate or violence. As a matter of fact, I'm totally against it. I believe that love and harmony will save our world. I believe that the potential is certainly here for the entire human race to live in harmony. That's why I understand when people ask the big question, why do they hate us? I don't think there's a good answer to this question, because there's no reason for hate. But I do believe it could be stopped. So that's one thing I wanted to really clarify. I have been hurt by people that I want to hate. And there are a lot of people that you could hate, and it's justified to hate them. Hating doesn't really hurt the person that you hate as much as it hurts you, because it destroys your life. It doesn't let you go forward. For me, I was born in Jerusalem, and I don't remember any time in my life that we were not under attack from our neighbors, the Palestinians, that hated us. And it was just a way of life. And I didn't question the fact that they hated us as a child, because you kind of accept things the way they are. And I know that I didn't do anything to them. So I was kind of taken aback when the question, why do they hate us, was asked, I guess, today. And yes, I guess throughout the years, why do they hate us would be something I would ask, but I don't think really any answer of why they hate us is a sufficient answer, because there is no justification for hate. If you perceive that somebody hurt you and you hate them because they hurt you, yes, they deserve to be hated, but hating them isn't helping you. At least that's what I feel. So I can't even hate the people that hate me. It does not mean that I would let them destroy me. It does not mean that I wouldn't protect myself against people who want to hurt me. Yes, I would protect myself. I would fight to protect my family and myself and my people that I love. But I wouldn't spend my life hating them if I could. And sometimes that's a lot easier said than done, because it's easier to hate people than it is to love, to forgive and to let go of that hate. So that being said, this man really touched my heart. He is in Egypt right now. And when somebody touches my heart, I instinctively, the first thing I want to do always is to help them, with something that I can to somehow make life better for them. Because I know that we are all connected. And I know that if I make my life better for one person out in this world, then I make my life better for the entire world, including myself. Because the more people live in harmony in this world, the more people that I can take away from hating and away from being in a bad situation, the better off we are as an energy, because we are on one boat. And the more light we have on this boat, the better off we all are. So helping one another is a very nice value to be giving. But the truth is that when you give and you help somebody else, you're really actually giving and helping yourself too. But there are certain elements in society that do need to be wiped out, and hate is one of those things. And how to wipe that out, I don't know, other than to get as many people as possible to live a happy life and a good life, so that they could experience, even if it isn't the forgiveness completely, but at least the desire to forgive. Because I know that there are some people that have hurt me really badly as a child, like Munster Frieder, which is not as easy for me to forgive him as I would like it to be. But if I spend my life hating him, then I'm destroying my own life. But I still don't find it easy to forgive him. So I'm not saying that it's easy, but I'm saying that I'm always looking for a way to forgive anyone, because for me and for you and for the entire world. So here's a little story that I got from Ahmed, that I'm not going to give you his last name right now, but which really touched me. And it's called Why I Hate Arabs. And he's saying, oh, Egyptian isn't an Arabic, it's a Semic. Egyptian is Semic, so they don't consider themselves Arabic, they consider themselves Semic. And that's why we always say the Jews are the cousins of the Egyptians. Because if they're Semites and we're Semites, I guess that's cousins, which we are cousins, because Ismael is the father and Isaac is the father of the Jews, and they were brothers. So in Egypt, we do speak Arabic. The majority are Muslims, but we aren't Arabic, though. Maybe that could explain why Arabs hate us. I realized that after my dad moved to Jordan and took us with him for 2 years, I realized how much hatred the Palestinians and the Jordanians have for us. And the way they deal with us is the same times. They want us to fight. And the way they deal with us, like, okay, so what he's saying is that they hate them and they treat them really badly, and then to fight for their case. And that's something that's very confusing for him. So if Palestinians hate us like that, why do you want us Egyptians to fight for your land, which is already sold to our cousin, who I consider to be more close to us than you, with your Arab nationalism that you claim is connecting us together? Why you come to our country through Rafah to be cured and educated? Many questions to be asked about why helping people who, why we should help people who hurt us at the same time that we help them. This hatred also experienced by the kids in school, and he suffered from it. He goes, I suffered from the start in the school. It's called Yakut El Hamwai School, in a city called El Zarqa, which is in Jordan, in an area called White Mountains or Al Jabal or El Abiyad. There were two major tribes living in the neighborhood with a lot of families together, not one single family. He says that our family was the only single family there. And they were Beni Hassan and Jordanian. Not sure what Beni Hassan is, but they were Jordanian. And Duwama and Palestinians. And they were always fighting between each other, despite the Beni Hassan are the owners of the country, and the Palestinians, okay, I got it. The Palestinians lived on the land of the Beni Hassan, who were the owners, and still they fought them. They had fights all the time, which he says that the Palestinians never appreciate the people that host them from any country. And these are some words I'm not going to use, but the strange thing that these two tribes or families are united is over one thing, is their hatred for Egyptians. I like to add over here that they're definitely united on the hatred for the Jews. I don't know why they used to race us and how to make, they used to make fun of us or insult us. So one of these Palestinians was with us in school always with a blade in his hand. We called him Ali Blade. He was always threatening me especially, and he was saying that every three Egyptians who give eggs like chicken for sale with one dinar. I'm not sure what that means. But if I responded, my face would his blade. Imagine a student in this age with such a criminal attitude acting in an aggressive way for no reason except that I'm an Egyptian. We were living on top of this mountain, so we had to go down every day for school, and we came back at 2 o'clock. While they were chasing us through stones, and they threw stones at us, same thing they do in Israel. But if we're the enemy, then I guess that was surprising. He said he was very surprised at the way they treated him, and he felt very that it was not justified. One day we were playing basketball in school court, so unintentionally I pushed one of the players. He waited for me outside the school with a knife. So I asked the teacher, who was leaving school, home to walk me home because I was afraid that that boy was going to attack me. Teacher, who tried to protect me, got his hand cut with a knife. And then he says, I just can't believe how they hate us for just being Egyptian. So I had to change. I had to become aggressive. I had to learn how to box. Otherwise, not only would I be beaten, but they would mess with me all the time and make me their girlfriend. So that's already taken it to a whole new level. So he learned how, so I learned how to hit him and to run and to protect myself and my younger brother. And those people of Beni Hassan tribes, they're goat. They have, they're goat people. They take care of goats and sheep. And they used to come to school and very smelly. One of them was called Abdul Halim. One day, I caught him having sex with one goat on my way home over the mountain. And ever since I saw him, he became so aggressive with me, and he used to terrify me so that I wouldn't make a scandal about him. many of them were gay, so I had to be tough not to become like them. You know, this cereal was for the prophet, L-O-O-T, where men used to sleep with each other near the Dead Sea area. That's why most of the new generation still have the same habits, which is prohibited under any religion or ethic or moral. So he has very bitter memories in these 2 years that he was there. He was not treated very well, and obviously being attacked constantly for a child is very, very dramatic. So he says, I had very bitter memories in these 2 years, but I went out strong. I learned how to be able to defend myself and not to be beaten. But the question, which she still can't answer, is why they hate us. Can't find the answer to that. So that was the Palestinian and the Jordanian. And then what about the Arabs of the Gulf? So he says, I think if you ask a foreigner who works in Saudi or any other country who would know how they're being humiliated there, he will tell you about the same experience. So before I went to Dubai, I traveled 3 times to Saudi. Each time I found their problems. Either he didn't get paid when he was supposed to pay, and there is nobody to go to complain. And he says, simple regular workers or highest order workers are all treated really badly. They're all being humiliated, but each in his own different way. And then when you have a problem, there's no labor office where you can go and fight back, because if you don't get paid, you have to go home without any money. There's nothing you can do about it. And most people that go to Saudi Arabia for work, they have to borrow from older friends and relatives enough to be able to get to Saudi Arabia. So once they get there, they're almost forced to stay there because they can't go home like losers without any money to pay everybody back. And they're stuck working in a really bad situation if the situation is bad. And so basically, they're pretty much screwed. They have to handle the humiliation. They have to take it and stay for as long as they could. But Ahmed said that he went 3 times, but he couldn't take it, and then he went home. So actually, my hatred of Arabs didn't come from nothing, but came from bad experience with them and even with the religion that came from their land. And he says, I decided to convert as well. And her point is that he has a really touching story. I don't think I really even touched on it because I didn't really understand everything that he wrote, but I do think it's very touching and I would have liked to be able to have it done. But that's not going to happen today, but I'm definitely going to make it happen on another day when we can figure out how to get over all these obstacles and be able to connect, make sure that we could connect here. And so I think I understand the pain that a kid would experience going to a place where all of a sudden you're being hated for no reason at all. Me personally, I do understand that because when I came to New York as a child, I wasn't exactly welcomed with a lot of joy. It was more that I was ignored. And to me, that was a really painful experience. But thank God nobody attacked me or gave me any physical, or I didn't experience any physical harm at all. And so that is what I have to say about it, and that is how I totally understand it. I understand the kind of pain. And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. My name is Tiffany Feldenstein. It has been wonderful chatting with you here today, and I hope you understand why this story really, really touched me, because Ahmed is still in Egypt and still trying to get out. And I believe he said that the situation is so bad over there, and he said something that I just couldn't believe. And that is that he's waiting for Israel to come and save them. To me, there's so much hope and there's so much sadness in that statement that we're all going to be looking forward to hearing more from him. I bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and I wish you a wonderful week and lots of joy.
Flying high.